working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of land. It is Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark. Brought to you by First National Bank and Trust of Elk City in Sayre, Oklahoma. Happy Monday, everybody. I hope you had a good weekend. I think most everybody in the listening area got rain. I know down towards Altus, Mangum, and over there towards Cash and Lawton, they got more than their fair share. Well, hopefully not a lot of damage, flood damage was done. It looked chaotic at Fort Sill, so... lots of stuff. Let's check out some temperatures. Looks like slap out in Buffalo, you're the hottest spot in the spots in the state of Oklahoma. 84 degrees. I know it's muggy out there. 82 at Arnett, 76 at Lahoma, 78 at Bessie. Butler, you're 79, 80 at Hollis, 77 at Hobart out here in the panhandle of Texas. 81 at Odell, 82 at Childress, 81 at Dozer. 80 at Miami, 80 at Canadian. Remember, tomorrow, Hemp Hill County Beef Conference, brought to you by Texas A&M AgriLife system there in Andy Holloway and all those guys. That starts in the morning. There's a big ad on the front page of the Penny News, and you're going to go. It's wet. You're probably not doing a whole lot. I don't see it drying out too much before tomorrow. So if you get a chance, you really need to go. I'm going tomorrow. Actually, I'm going to do my show from over there tomorrow and see what's going on. No joking aside, I'm just telling you, it's one of the best beef conferences that you can attend. So if you get a chance, just go type in Hemp Hill County Beef Conference. It'll all come up. You can buy your ticket online there. And, I'm not positive if you can pay if you get there. I'm pretty sure they won't turn your money down, but... we'll have a good meal at lunch tomorrow, another good meal tomorrow evening, lots of good speakers, and lots of vendors. So check it out at the Hemp Hill County Beef Conference coming up tomorrow. Well, I usually don't highly recommend something. And some of you guys probably got this. I think there's an app out there called Rain Gauge, and there's other apps out there. But I went ahead and downloaded the range gauge called Raindrop. Some of you might have it, like I said, but I highly, highly recommend this. So I went in and got it over the weekend, and it's not free. I called three or four of my friends, a couple in Roger Mills County, one over by Delhi, double checked it with what I got at the house, and blah, blah, blah. This thing is within, I don't know how they do it, but this thing was within 0.05 one-hundredths of an inch accuracy compared to what was actually in the rain, physical rain gauge at these farms here. So you can put in, I think this would be really handy for somebody that's spread out quite a bit. I'm not, everything I have is right there. But there's a lot more to it than just the rain gauge. It gives you past history of rains and blah, blah, blah. But, yeah, I was within 0.05 hundredths of an inch of any rain gauge my friends had out there, including mine. So check it out. It's called Rain Gauge. It's an app. Like I said, it's not free. But I was looking at it, and it gives some history on your gauges in your area. And kind of curious. So since January 1st of this year, 2025, like at my house, I got 7.72 inches of rain. That's 1.7 inches above normal. Since April, 4.71 inches. That's 2.37 inches above normal. And in the last 365 days in the last year, 29.15 inches at my house, and that's 2.4 inches above normal, and same as for the last 30 days, 2.40 inches. So don't know. It's pretty cool. Pretty cool rain gauge, or app. And I just, like I said, it's just crazy that you could, it's that close and how they can do it. It's, actually, it might be a little better than the mezzanet, but the mezzanet's a whole different ball game. But it's pretty close to, I guess what I need to do is find a mezzanet on this map, data it, and check it, double check it with what the mezzanet's saying for all the last deal. But check it out. Rain Gauge is the app that you can put on your iPhone and I'm guessing your Android. So get that. I'll get to some ag news here in just a little bit, but what I was wanting to do, I come across this podcast last night. Am I anti-solar panel? Not really. Yeah, I guess I kind of am. I'm in between. There's not going to be any solar panel farms on my farm. That's my choice. And the people that put their solar farm panels on their farm, that's their business. As long as, you know, it's kind of like anything else, it has the, you know, as long as whatever's being put on a farm or piece of land doesn't affect me downstream or whatever, however, you know, that's with anything, oil field, solar power, wind towers, whatever, hog farms, whatever, just, you know, as long as it doesn't affect. But there's laws in Oklahoma and Texas that protects landowners around those properties. But this here kind of got my attention, and I want you guys to listen to this deal. It's state representative, not U.S., but a state representative from Michigan, and him and a couple other representatives were talking. His name's Cam Cavett, if you want to check him out, and they had some interesting things to say about, I guess, in Cam's area, they grow a lot of potatoes. And this is kind of interesting about these solar farms. Let's see if I can get this to play right. Hang on a second. I guess that didn't work out, did it? Okay. I'll try to get that working and break. It's pretty interesting what they say about Frito-Lay's and other potato companies not being able to grow potatoes. If they put a solar farm on their land and 10 years later or whatever, they take the solar farm panels and all that stuff off, that the potato companies and other crop companies will not let them, they won't buy anything from them that's grown on that property because of the metals in the soil. But I'm going to see if I can get that playing here just a minute. I don't know why it's not playing. I thought I had it on right. So we'll check that out. What else is going? Oh, I found out. So I sent Monty Tucker a message before the show to see what rain they got up there, biggest rain. They got 2 inches up there Saturday morning. Because yesterday afternoon behind my house, the North Fork of the Red River became really muddy and looked like Sweetwater mud, the soil difference in up there, and really red and yucky looking. No, I'm just kidding. It was red looking. It took it 20 hours to get from Sweetwater to my house west of Carter on the river, but it's still pretty muddy today, so it's rolling. They got a good rain up there. Lugard Lake, let's see what the irrigation lake's looking like as of today. It's gone up a couple percent in the last couple percent. Let me find my app here. Check out Army Corps deal. See what's happening here. Yep, it's come up even some more since yesterday. As of right now, Lugard Lake is 9.69 foot below normal. It is at 60.78% full, and currently right now there is around 400 cubic feet per second coming into the lake, and the elevation, how many acres of water do they got? It always tells me that somewhere. Where is it at? There, elevation. There we go. Storage acres right now in Lugard Lake is sitting at around 78,000 acres of storage. That's pretty good. It's twice what they had last year. I think it was like 20, 21 foot low. Some irrigation lakes coming up. All right, let's go ahead. And today is the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association happy hour. Let's go ahead and take an OCA break. When I come back, we'll see what happened overnight in our big old world of agriculture and also see what's happening with our markets. I know the live cattle for April set another record while ago, earlier at 215.37 or something like that. We'll check it out right after this break.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Every farmer and rancher knows nutrition is key when it comes to getting the best out of every animal. High Pro Feeds has built their reputation on providing the best nutrition possible. Their commitment to nutrition is unwavering. High Pro is a name you know and trust. Buy the best and get the results you deserve. Hobart Farm and Garden is your trusted High Pro Feeds dealer providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks. Visit them online at hobartfarmandgarden.com.
Save 30 to 40% on Firestone Ag Tires through May 31st. Firestone Ag Tires are 30 to 40% off through May 31. Blair Tire and Feed is helping you get ready for planting season by helping you save money. Here's what you need to know right now. You can save 30 to 40% on Firestone Ag Tires at Blair Tire and Feed until the last day of May. Right now, get the tires you need for planting season and save money. For contact information, Google Blair Tire and Feed. Or just drive to Blair and get your tires.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report. Friday, April 18th, 1,225 head were sold. 12 head of steers at 316 brought 515. 4 at 459 brought 390. 6 at 476 brought 395. 14 at 516 brought 377.50. 3 at 587 brought 358. 7 at 604 brought 356. 5 at 613 brought 318. 5 head of heifers at 280 brought 425. 35 at 449 brought 380. 6 at 548 brought 327.50. 4 at 593 brought 310. 3 at 652 brought 280. 8 at 1041 brought 225. Butcher cows were 100 to 166. Butcher bulls brought 143 to 203. Bred cows, 1,500 to 3,475. Pairs brought 2,500 to 3,750. Elk City Livestock Auction, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. to consign. Call Brandon Hickey, 580-497-6095.
Hay wrap is what people use in their balers, the farmers, when they want to, you know, baling up hay. It wraps it up. It's better than twine. So it's like one consistency holds everything together, lasts longer, easier to cut off. Well, we started selling it because we got asked for it, because there's nowhere around here to really buy it, the good kind of net wrap that we have. So we found a vendor that's good price, and now we carry it. We've got it. Camrock is right south of Fred's Steakhouse in Elk City, Oklahoma.
One of the purposes of the FFA is to teach high school students the principles of successful farming. But FFA also serves as a training ground for civic leaders through speech contests, community improvement projects, and leadership camps. Today and every day, we salute the FFA and our local FFA members.
Leaders aren't born, they're made. First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre loves how FFA creates leaders every day.
Ranchers, the Hemp Hill County Beef Cattle Conference in Canadian, Tuesday and Wednesday, April 29th and 30th, will feature the most important issues and the best speakers in the cattle business. Go to the website or call 806-323-9114 to get your tickets today. Tickets include three big beef meals, all the presentations, 115 trade show exhibitors, and celebrating our 10th anniversary. See you in Canadian.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Wellington, Texas, 81 degrees, heat index of 82, humidity is 55%, dew point 63, the winds are out of the west at 8 miles an hour, peak wind gust today so far, 27 miles an hour. Let's see here, month-to-date precipitation, check this out, 6.84 inches of rain. So far in the month of April, no red flag or sub-freezing minutes. 8-inch soil temperature, 67 degrees. You know what that tells me? That soil temperature tells me you guys better get down there to SEI Agritech and get your cover crop or your summer forage stuff bought, because with all this rain everywhere, I bet there's a lot of farmers just sitting around chomping on what they need to do. Ground dries out, I bet there's some summer forage or cover crops put in, so you better get them ordered early, because I think there's going to be a big demand for them with this rainfall, especially since we're dip. Hey, I did figure out the deal on that I wanted to hear you guys, so if you will, listen up to this real quick.
Solar panels, Dave. Here's the trouble we're having in my district is we have a big potato growing industry. Posen has
up by us as well. Yeah,
and they're having to sign off on these that you can't grow potatoes on this land where solar arrays are set up anymore, because of the metal shards and the glass shards and the leaking
and the leaching of the heavy metals.
That's right.
Yep, Frito did the same thing with the potato growers up by us. Any field that had solar panels installed on it will never be allowed to grow potatoes for human consumption due to the leaching. So the heavy metal component on these solar panel fields is real.
Exactly. And where they get those heavy metals from? You know, China controls most of the African trade and Southwest Asia trade.
They're using children for labor.
Yes. Yeah. And slave labor that they use for all kinds of things, manufacturing iPhones and so forth.
So we didn't need to hear about the slave deal. Sorry about that. But that, there you go. It's that's what they're saying, that they found out, they are finding out that the solar panels are leaching some metals into the soil. And so any food grown in there for human consumption, you're not going to get anybody to buy whatever crop you're doing for human consumption. That gets me to thinking, what's different than that is like raising hay or putting grass and stuff on your land there once the solar farm's gone or around it, if it's leaking in there, and then you got cattle, sheep, whatever, grazing that. What's that do to what would that do to your beef and stuff? So, yeah, I just wanted to pass that along with you, not to get too anti-crazy with that stuff. But interesting what they've discovered in this. It's been fact-checked, too. So there we have it. Okay, what else? Oh, this humidity is wonderful. I promise you, my tomatoes in the last 48 hours has grown another foot. I said last year I wouldn't do the Florida weave. It's too much trouble. I just did the conventional straight line weave. And it worked all right. It had its flaws, especially I didn't know these tomato plants were going to get that big. So, yes, Saturday, while it was misty and raining outside, I went ahead and started doing the Florida weave. Did it kind of according to a couple of videos that Brian sent me, and it worked out pretty good. Yesterday evening, I went in there. Like, holy crap. So I started putting another line of weave on there because these plants are growing so good. Check out, if you Googled Florida weave, you would find on TikTok or just go to YouTube and put it in there. You'll understand what the Florida weave is. Basically what it is put steel post up. Tomato plants will pull over electric fence posts, wood stakes, whatever. So just go ahead and put T-post in there, steel T-post. I got four plants in between each one of my T-posts set at 10 foot. And just go through there. It's like doing a figure eight. Just weave it through there, and then you come back and weave the other side. And you'd be amazed. I just got some string line, and you'd be amazed how much strength those strings got to hold those plants up. Looking wonderful. Looking wonderful. All right, let's see what happened overnight in our big old world of agriculture. Grain and soybean futures were lower in overnight trading as the dollar strengthened on the favorable weather in global growing areas. The greenback gained 0.2% against a basket of its global counterparts overnight. A stronger dollar makes U.S. goods, including agriculture products, less attractive to overseas buyers. The dollar has been choppy in recent trade amid volatility due to the global trade war between the U.S. and several other countries. Also weighing on prices overnight, it's favorable weather in some of the growing areas of the world. Rainfall continues in much of northern Brazil, the world's largest exporter of soybeans, giving a boost to soil moisture in the region. More precipitation is in the forecast for most of that country this week. Soybean production in Brazil was estimated by the USDA at 169 million metric tons. If realized, that will be up from 154.5 million tons last year and the highest output on record. Corn output in the South American country is seen by the USDA at 126 million metric tons. Corn futures were by for July. Delivery fell 5.5 cents overnight to 480 a bushel on the Chicago Board of Trade. Wheat futures dropped 8.75 cents to 536 and a quarter a bushel, while Kansas City futures lost 9.25 to 541 and three quarters a bushel. Soybean futures fell 5.25 to 1054 a bushel. Soy meal was down 80 cents to 297.70 a short ton. And soy oil lost 0.51 cents to 49.3 cents a pound. Investors reduced their net long positions or bets on higher prices in corn last week while reducing their bullish wagers on soybeans, according to data from the Commodity Futures Trading Commission. Money managers cut their net long in corn to 132,000 futures contracts in the 7 days that ended April 22nd. That's down from 145,000 the week before that. Speculators, however, raised their bullish bets on beans to 53,245 future contracts. That's up from 43,000 the week before, and the largest such position since the 4th of February. In wheat, hedge funds and other large investment houses cut their net short positions or bets on lower prices to 81,861 contracts. That's down from 86,000 the week before. It's the smallest such position since March the 18th. Investors raised their net shorts in hard red winter wheat to 51,000 future contracts, and that's up from 42,000. So there you got it. Let's see what's going on with our weather. According to the National Weather Service, red flag warnings have been issued for parts of southwestern Kansas. That's not too far from here. And intense winds and low humidity, according to the National Weather Service. Winds will be sustained throughout the day, 15 to 25, with wind gusts up to 30 and 35 miles an hour. Humidity will drop to 10%. Wind advisories have been issued for much of North Dakota and parts of surrounding states, with wind gusts up to 55 in North Dakota today. So there you have it. Okay, let's see here. Let's go ahead and take a break. And when I come back, I will have your updated grain market update, see what the live cattle and the feeders are doing, and what else we got going on. Oh, we'll check out the sale barn reports from Texas and Oklahoma as of last Friday. We'll be right back after this.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey farmers, it's Kent Watkins with SEI Agritech in Elk City, Oklahoma. It's time to plant summer cover crops. We carry the best quality cover crop seeds available. If you need ag chemicals, we can ship bigger orders straight from the warehouse to your farm with unbeatable prices. And as always, we're an authorized livestock nutrition center dealer. Call us, visit us on South Randall in Elk City, and follow us on Facebook. SEI Agritech, your partner in productivity.
High winds? No problem. Tough terrain? Bring it on. At Cummins in Weatherford, we've got the powerful Ram trucks built to take on whatever Mother Nature throws your way. It's Ram Truck Month. Drive home legendary strength with unbeatable savings on the most rugged, dependable trucks on the road. From the new 2025 Ram 1500, 2500 HD, 3500 HD, powered through any storm. That's Cummins Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Weatherford, just off 540 or at CumminsChrysler.com.
You can buy parts anywhere, but the people at our store are different than people at other stores. And if they're not, we're going to make them different. They should be more knowledgeable. They should be more friendly. They should be more customer-oriented. They should be part of the community. We pride ourselves of doing business with people. You can buy parts anywhere. It's the people that make the difference.
We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need. Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd. More parts for more cars.
Are you looking for a new metal building that's built to last? Cyclone Metal Buildings by Culverstone brings you top-tier craftsmanship and second-to-none quality with attention to detail. From luxury custom barn dominiums to shops or barns and commercial buildings, our buildings don't just look good, they're built to last with all custom weld-up, I-beam, and C-purlin construction. From design to completion, we do it right. That's Cyclone Metal Buildings by Culverstone.
Well, good morning, kiddo. I love that you're home from college. I've missed you.
Still taking your nature-made vitamins?
Every day. A multivitamin and a probiotic. You better be taking yours.
Still looking out for me, Mom.
I'll never stop.
Made to care for you every day. Nature Made, the number one pharmacist-recommended vitamin and supplement brand. Find us in the vitamin aisle. Based on a survey of pharmacists who recommend branded vitamins and supplements.
As a farmer or rancher, you're always looking for ways to save time and money. The Apache Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding in Visalia, Oklahoma will help you do just that. The Apache Hay Wagon eliminates 80 to 90% of hay waste with its unique design. It hauls multiple bales, saving you time and money. Go by Everett's Welding today and ask to see the Apache Hay Wagon. You'll be glad you did. You can also visit them online at everettswelding.com.
I've told multiple people that have business ideas that come in. I said, bring me everything you got, even if it's scratched on a napkin, and it doesn't have to be professional looking. I want to see what you went through because I want to help you and then at least give them my 2 cents. The loan's going to stand on its own. You know, I'm not going to decide based off you brought this on a napkin. The point is if they've thought it through, it makes you more comfortable. You get more comfortable with them. They also get more comfortable with you because you're going to point out things that they may have thought of, didn't put down.
I'm Utah Robinson, and I help make the difference. First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Jim is all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, here's your ag weather update for northwestern Oklahoma and little southern parts of Kansas there around Ashland and Production. Sealing, Oklahoma, 80 degrees, dew point 65, humidity 61. The winds out of the south-southwest at 15 with wind gust up to 23. 3.17 inches of rain in the last 10 days. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 66 degrees, sunset at 8:20. 86 and mostly sunny today, tomorrow or tonight. 50% chance of thunderstorms, 51 for a low. The winds will be switching from the south out of the north, coming out of the north. Tomorrow, 70% chance of rain, 66 for a high. Northeast winds, 9 to 13 with wind gusts up to 20. You heard me talking about it a couple times last week. You're going to hear me talking about it a couple times today. PlayItLive.net. Local dreams, live streams, play it live at the Fiveplex here in Elk City. So if you're out planting corn, peanuts, cotton, can't get to the granddaughter's ball game, you can watch it at least. Just go to PlayItLive.net. In the Penny News, you'll see it in there, and there's a QR code. Scan it, and that'll load it up. And you can watch, and I think I heard somebody ask Gabe on Facebook last night if there's going to be sound. And I think he said there's going to be, you can hear the ball hit the bat and some other stuff. So I'm not 100% sure on that. Doesn't matter as long as you get to watch a kid play softball. So playitlive.net. New deal this year at the Fiveplex. And I know a lot of people from Western Oklahoma and Texas come in here and play at the Fiveplex, baseball and softball. So. Pretty cool complex. Shout out to City of Elk City for making that happen. Okay, let's check out the markets right now. Where you at? There you are. Refresh. Come on, baby. It didn't refresh. There it goes. There we go. Okay, let's see what's happening with the grains real quick. Corn for May, 477, down one. July is down a quarter at 485. Soybeans up four for May at 1053. July's 1063, also up 4. Soybean meal down 180 at 288.20 for May, down 150 for July at 297 even. Soybean oil, May 49.78, up 50. Wheat, it was down 16 about 11 o'clock. It's get a little better here. May is 527, only down 10.5 now. July is 542, down 8.5. Cotton is down. July, 67.36, down 144. December, 68.75, down 122. West Texas oil, June, 61.58, down $1.44. Natural gas is back up above 3 for May at 312. Looks like the NASDAQ, S&P, and the Dow are all in the red. Nothing major, but they are in the red. Live cattle, April, 215.45, up 120. June is 209.12, up 87. Feeders for May, 290.97, up 45. August is 293.82, down 47. Lean hogs are in the red at 90. Down a nickel at 92.75 for May. And there's your updated market. Okay, let's check out wherever they are. Let's see, I did Texas first last week, so let's do Oklahoma first this week. Wrong page. There we go. Total receipts in Oklahoma last week, 17,940 head, compared to 21,772 the week before, and 25,249 head were sold at sale barns a year ago. Compared to last week, feeder steers steady to $5 higher, grass type steers $5 to $10 higher, feeder heifers $2 to $7 higher, steer and heifer calves over 450 steady to $5 higher, under 450 pounds $10 higher. Demand was good. Slaughter cows $1 to $4 lower. Slaughter bulls $2 higher. Packers demand good. Most of Oklahoma has seen favorable rainfall this week. Supply included 91% feeder cattle, 6% slaughter cattle, and 3% replacement cattle. Let's see if anything really just stands out in here. We got steers, medium and large number ones, weighing 438, brought 417. Unwinged ones weighing 663, brought 311. Thin flesh, 743 pounders, brought 296. That's still a good number. That's about it. All right, let's check out the Texas auction report for cattle. Feeder cattle, let's see, wait a minute. Total receipts for last week, 3,326 through the sale barns compared to 5,100 the week before and 5,700 last year. Compared to last week, not enough comparable sales, but a higher undertone was noted at all sales. Demand was moderate to good. Pastures are in good conditions after rain that also curbed the auction receipts. Supply included 83% feeders, 13% slaughter, and 3% replacement. Let's go down here in the steer department, medium, large, number ones, see what their big boys were bringing. There was a 90 head weighing 881, brought 264.62. And let's check out some heifers just for the fun of it. Medium, there we go. Let's see here. They had 100 head that weighed 903, brought 258. They were replacement heifers. And then they had 65 head of heifers weighing 853, brought 268. There you have it. Okay, what did I see here that I wanted to also share with you guys? I knew sooner or later this was going to happen because McCool's not going to go away. The opposition or the yays for it is just not going to, it's not going to go away. So in Montana, in an 84 to 16 vote, the Montana House of Representatives approved SJ 25, a joint resolution to urge Congress to implement country of origin, origin speaking label for beef and pork. This comes from a 40-8 vote, a 4D votes to 8 nay, a Senate vote of approval. The resolution directs the Montana Secretary of State to send a copy of the resolution to each member of the Montana Congressional Delegation, the Montana Governor, the Secretary of U.S. Department of Agriculture, and the U.S. Trade Representative. Will Curdy of Missoula sponsored the legislation. Kim Norris of the Montana Cattlemen's Association said there were very little opponent testimony in that SJ 25 in committee hearings. He said several agriculture organizations, including the Montana Cattlemen's Association and the Montana Farmers Union, spoke in favor of the resolution. Another cattle-related bill, HB 119, was tabled and is not expected to be resurrected this year. I can't even talk today, said Morse. HB 119 would have created a new seven-member governor-appointed committee to oversee a state beef credit checkoff. The checkoff would have been created if and when the cattle producers in the state voted in favor of a being self-funded on the beef checkoff in Montana. Interesting things going on in Montana. All right, let's see here. Boop, 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 boop. Big cattle checks don't always mean big profits. I seen this in the beef email this morning, so I wanted to share this with you. High cattle prices are masking potential losses for producers who lack solid marketing strategies and return on gain calculations, while creating opportunities for those who understand the true value. There were a couple of days this week that I received more messages than I ever have. A message every 3 minutes for a few hours is a little bit overwhelming. There was a wide range of topics on people's minds for a while now. I've been getting a kick out of expression of people's faces when they get their check after selling cattle. Many of these folks have never received a check that big before. They think they are making a windfall profit. Some are, and some are losing money. Here's the thing. Because cattle prices are high and some people are getting the biggest check of their life right now, they assume we're making money. This is bad news. That is the bad news about marketing. As an aggregate, we have no clue what we are doing. Some of these conversations were about the price of feeders. These people think that the price of cattle sold was a sweet deal. They also thought it was a great buy for the feed yard. Proper calculations. Are you listening? Now, keep in mind that these people have not been to one of my schools. After I questioned them as how it was a good buy for the feed yard, they admitted they were guessing it was. Logically, why would they buy them if they weren't? Let me take a moment and differentiate. If a producer calculates break evens, this is comparable to preschool, where we learn shapes and colors. No profit is included in the calculation. And as it's also not real time, so it's guessing game. Guessing games are for kids, not running a business. When people learn to calculate a return on the gain, which is ratio of dollars to pounds on a swap, it is also real time. Then they can see what's really happening. To be sure, I calculated ROG from selling fats and replacing them with feeders. Every 100 pounds from 5 weights to 10 weights on the steer side. The ROG was lower than the cost of gain, making this a losing trade. On the heifer side, there were a few weights that had a ROG very close to the COG. Now logic finally entered and guessing games are over. We know fats are undervalued. So why would people buy these feeders? Two reasons. They have no clue what they're doing. And it is lost on me how anybody thinks they can run a feeding business without knowing how to calculate a ROG. Second one is, we have a large group of people who are willing to lose money feeding cattle. What about the stocker operation that sold the heavy feeders? That depends on what they replaced them with. Calculating the ROG shows there was some lighter weight cattle that were highly profitable as a buyback. A different weight class had the ROG lower than the COG, making a losing proposition. Tuesday was the day people who chose to sell by school called me to unload on how about the hardships they are facing. To sum it up, they're finding themselves unequipped to function in the current female market. Last week, I mentioned how the smart people are telling us that the herd rebuilding won't take place until the cow-calf producers get out of financial trouble. We all know that we need these producers, or there is not going to be a cattle business. For this reason, it is essential that cow-calf producers learn how to market their animals better. There you go. Let's take an OCA break. When we come back, we'll have your Hobart Farm and Garden, Southwestern Oklahoma Ag Weather Update.
Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
I was impressed that he came to my barn. That is what I like is service. Service says a lot. I have not even been to his office. My time is very valuable to me. I'm very busy. It's a 35-minute drive from my house to Mangum. I don't want to drive down there every time I need something. That's going to kill at least 2 hours of my day, and I don't have that kind of time to spare. So when I get in business with somebody like this that gives me that kind of service, I respect the job that they're doing, and I appreciate the service that they're providing to me. I'm ecstatic. I'm very glad. It worked out like it was supposed to. You know, I don't think I could have picked a better insurance agent. My name is Bandy Silk. My family and I farm and ranch in the Delhi community. I'm a fifth-generation farmer and rancher. I'm glad I've contacted Mickey Lively for my insurance needs.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
It's important to keep your irrigation machines up and running during the growing season, because when your crops need water, they can't wait. And when you need parts, there's no substitute for the best. Valley Genuine Parts. From gaskets and gearboxes to booster pumps and boombacks, Valley Genuine Parts make all the difference to your operation. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325. For all your irrigation parts, technology, and service needs, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
Together, we're making history again. The Ford Motor Company is letting Barbara Dyson Ford offer employee pricing to you through June 2nd. You pay what Ford employees pay for new vehicles. Employees get the biggest discounts, and right now, you get those same big price breaks. It's never been this widespread. It's never been this big. Now through June 2nd, you pay what employees pay. Employee pricing for everyone at Barbara Dyson Ford. Online, barbaradysonford.net. Offer excludes 2025 Expeditions and 2025 Super Duties.
It helps to work with someone who's been down the same road you're traveling. Someone who knows what you're up against and what you're going through. When it comes to farmers and ranchers, that's us. That's who we are. Our lenders know ag inside and out because we're producers too. We approach it like a partnership. We want to put ag producers in position to be successful. We're very laid back and easy to deal with. And people seem to like that. We think you'll like it too. I'm Marty Maddox. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend farmers and ranchers a helping hand. Member FDIC.
My mom used to take me to the local dairy when I was a little girl, and I always was interested in learning where my food came from. I didn't grow up on a farm. I'm from the city, but please don't hold that against me. We owned a farm in Colorado and again here in Western Oklahoma. My name's Becky Brown, and my husband's name is Tony Tummins, and together we own BT Butchers, a mobile meat processor. We bring our trailers to you. Your place or our place processed your way. Please find us at B as in Becky, T as in Tony, butchers.com. That's btbutchers.com. We would love to help you feed your family. The short wait list and 2-day turnaround means we move pretty fast, and since we come to you, it really is convenient. Not bad for a girl from the city. We would love to help you feed your family.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
right, welcome back. Here's your Hover Farm and Garden Ag Weather Update for southwestern Oklahoma. Pick the big town of Medicine Park. 75 degrees, 69 dew point, 81% humidity. The winds are out of southeast at 16 with wind gust up to 22. 3-day average, 4-inch bare soil temperature, 66 degrees. 10-day total on rain, 7.43 inches. That's why she was flooding down there the other day. Sunset, 8:16, 30% chance of severe thunderstorms today, 60% chance, and a 62 for low tonight. And tomorrow, 90% chance of rain showers, 73 for a high. Southeast winds, 13 to 14 miles an hour. Yeehaw! Man, that 10-day forecast just looks wet everywhere in Oklahoma. All right, we can handle it. Let's see here. I wanted to share this. I seen this on Paul Cornett, Special Agent Paul Cornett of the Oklahoma Department of Wildlife and, or not Wildlife, Department of Agriculture. He used to be with the Wildlife Department. All right, let's check this out here. I wanted to share this post on Facebook. It was actually from the Oklahoma Department of Wildlife Conservation page, the ODWC. Wants to congratulate one of our locals around here. We're thrilled to announce Caddo County Game Warden Justin Cornett as the recipient of the 2025 ODWC Game Warden of the Year. Congratulations, Justin. Justin's passion, professionalism, and unwavering commitment to conservation serves as an inspiration. Justin was responsible for 150 wildlife cases in 2024, assisted with many more, and is a valued member of the Wildlife Investigations Team, the WIT, I guess is what they called it. He also created an educational program for elementary and middle school students. He has earned the respect of his peers and the public by consistently exhibiting the highest standards in his professional and personal conduct. If he's anything like his dad, he's a pretty good old boy. While we're here, we will congratulate runner-up Johnston County Game Warden Zan Arnold for his exceptional dedication and contributes to the wildlife conservation. Let's see here. We got, who do I know that was nominated here? We got, Lieutenant Mike Baker from Beaver County. I've talked to him a couple times on the fire department side. And Daylon Jones, Game Warden Daylon Jones out of Ellis County. Justin Cornett out of Caddo County. Mark Murray out of Canadian County. I guess that's kind of about it for in our listening area for the show. So, again, congratulations to Game Warden Justin Cornett for being the Game Warden of the Year for 2024. Congratulations again. All right, let's see here. Rollins. She's getting tough. Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins wrote to her Mexican counterpart on Saturday, urging Mexico City to step up its support for efforts to contain the new world screwworm or face another suspension to livestock trade. "We cannot afford to continue operating at partial strength," a letter from Rollins to Mexico Agriculture Secretary Julio, I'm not even going to go there. The letter was sent to Mexico's ambassador to the U.S. with instructions to forward the communication to the Mexico Agriculture Secretary. "We are now at a critical inflection point in our shared campaign against the pest, and I'm very concerned about our cooperation," Rollins wrote. Something's going on down there at the border for her to send this in. Rollins complained that aircraft companies, USDA, and the Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service have contracted to release sterilized flies, face unnecessary restrictions. There's what's going on. The Dynamic Aviation, one of the companies under contract, can only fly 6 days a week, Rollins said, and only has a 60-day permit for operation. Yeah, so that's what's going on. Further, she said the Mexican tariffs on aircraft parts, equipment, and sterile flies are delaying efforts. They're putting a tariff on sterile flies. How about that? Materials and operations are being funded entirely by the U.S. government to support our shared goal of stopping the northward spread of the New World screwworm. Rollins wrote, "We do not understand how our official efforts to stop a common pest can be subject to such crap." How's that? I'll just throw in a word there. Accordingly, the U.S. is asking the Mexican government to grant dynamic aviation operational clearance for at least a year, but preferably indefinitely. It's also seeking tariff waivers for related aircraft parts, flies, and equipment provided by the APHIS and the appointment of a Mexico point of contact to help smooth future obstacles. I must inform you that these issues are not resolved by Wednesday. This Wednesday, the USDA will restrict the importation of animal commodities. That's one way to get somebody's attention. The U.S. blocked cattle and bison imports in November when the parasite was detected in southern Mexico, spurring tighter U.S. cattle supplies and contributing to high cattle and beef prices. But imports resumed in February under a new protocol whereby animals are inspected for screwworm before and after arrival in the U.S. The animals are also dipped in a solution to ensure they are insect and tick-free, according to a release published at the time. The U.S. and Mexico have been collaborating on an effort to eradicate the parasite by releasing sterile male flies that breed with wild screwworm and reduce populations. There you have it. Not much else going on in that little deal. Let's see here. What I got here? Last thing for the day, because I got to thinking about it, and almost, not all, but almost every person I know, this is how it's done. Six facts on how farm families, I've seen this on Ag website the other day, find economic support off the farm. In today's economy, the ability to farm often depends on the ability to commute, says Daniel Munch. Economist at the American Farm Bureau Federation, is reported by the USDA data and recently highlighted by the American Farm Bureau Federation, more than three-fourths of the household income for farm families come from off of the farm. Per USDA data in 2023, 96% of farm households earned money from off-farm sources, making up 77% of household income. I didn't know that percentage was that high. Family farms accounted for about 96% of total farms and 83% of total production in 2023. Daniel Munch, economist at AFBA, analyzed the data and got six main takeaways. And I think I got time to go with them. Number one, off-farm income keeps farms afloat. I see this. USDA defines a farm as any operation with more than $1,000 in ag product sales. Majority of off-farm income comes from earned income, wages, salaries, accounting for 72% of the total income for farm families. Number two, farms with lower cash recipients use off-farm income to bridge the financial gaps. Across all farm sizes, when farm income varies year to year, diversification of off-farm income stabilizes the household finances. Number three, younger farmers and beginning farmers are more likely to rely on off-farm income. 40% of all farmers say they exclusively work on the farm. Only 20% of young farmers, 35 years or younger, that puts Cotton King in that category, and 24% of beginning farmers, less than 10 years experience, only work on the farm. Not a very high percentage. Number four, different types of farm vary on reliance of off-farm income. Dairies, 81% of household income comes from farming activities. Corn farmers, 58% of income comes from on-farm sources. Cattle producers, 10% of household income comes from on-farm sources. Other field crops, 9%. It's not the biggest percentage I've seen in a while. Number five, off-road work is necessary for three reasons. health insurance, retirement investments, and high pay rates, higher paying rates than farming. There's three reasons. Last but not least, before the show's over, farmers travel farther for off-farm income. In today's economy, the ability to farm off often depends on the ability to commute. There you go. You guys have a great day. I'm going to be broadcasting the show live from Hemp Hill County Beef Conference tomorrow. Hope to see you guys all over there. Have a great day. It's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by First National Bank and Trust, Elk City, and Sarah America. God bless everybody.